This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Senate Finance Committee yesterday approved the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement on a 25-3 vote, setting the agreement up for a potential quick passage. Chairman Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, says the full Senate could consider the agreement within a week. However, if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sends articles of impeachment to the Senate, that must immediately take priority and would stall USMCA until after the impeachment hearings in the Senate. Grassley told the Finance Committee the USMCA implementing legislation has something in it for everyone, and that's not often that we can say that about an implementing bill. Mexico's Senate has already approved the agreement, and Canada plans to approve USMCA following U.S. action. Ranking member of the committee, Democrat Ron Wyden of Oregon, says the USMCA provides long overdue upgrades to labor standards, the environment, and digital trade. Compared with the North American Free Trade Agreement, adding the agreement also provides certainty to farmers and manufacturers. In other trade news, a Chinese delegation will travel to Washington next week to join President Trump in signing the Phase 1 trade agreement between the two nations. The South Chinese Morning Post reports that China's trade delegation plans to travel to the U.S. on January 13th, 2 days before President Trump plans to sign the accord. China and the White House both have yet to officially announce the visit, and their officials include the included in the delegation. However, Chinese Vice Premier Liu He will lead the group to Washington. The signing of the deal will mean increased agricultural purchases by China, as well as a partial end to the trade war that's dominated headlines for the past year and a half. China's soybean imports from the U.S. recently hit a 20-month high at 2.6 million ton, the highest number since March of 2018 when the trade war began between the two world's largest economies began to pick up steam. In more regional ag news here from the U.S., Bunge last week announced the sale of its share of an ethanol production facility. The Southwestern Iowa Renewable Energy, or SIRE, SIRE, repurchased Bunge's membership units effective as of December 31st. The purchase was made under the terms of the Bunge Membership Interest Purchase Agreement and ends Bunge's 13-year ownership interest in SIRE. Andres Martin, a North American country manager for Bunge, stated, "As Bunge focuses our resources in our core businesses, are selling our shares in SIRE while maintaining a relationship is still an attractive opportunity. SIRE is located on 275 acres in Council Bluffs, Iowa, operating an ethanol plant that is permitted to produce 140 million gallons of ethanol per year. In other regional ag news, the number of hogs being raised in the United States has been going up since mid-2014. However, as Todd Gleason reports, it isn't necessarily because profits are great.
Well, the last Hogs and Pigs report released by USDA back in December was a record setter at 77,338,000. That's 3% more hogs than a year ago. The expansion comes despite unprofitable margins and uncertainties related to trade issues, says Jason Franken of Western Illinois University. The fact is, there will be more hogs going to market from January to May. One of the reasons, Franken says, is that the litter size has grown on average and is now over 11 piglets per sow.
The continuation of the upward trend in pigs per litter combined with reported farrowing intentions suggest more hogs going to market in 2020.
Winter farrowing intentions are up 1% from actual farrowings last year and 5% from 2 years ago. The spring farrowing intentions are also up slightly from last year and up about 3% from 2 years back. All of these numbers point to a somewhat higher supply of hogs and pork in 2020, thinks Franken. And he says with higher production, one might expect lower prices. But there are additional items to consider on the demand side. For instance, we're eating more pork per person. Last year's mark at 52.7 pounds each is the highest number since 1981. Well, exports are good, too, even to China.
On the world market, all eyes are on Asia, and China in particular, due to their production losses from African swine fever. Although held back by China's retaliatory duties, U.S. pork exports to China increased throughout 2019. In September and October, China surpassed Japan to become our second largest foreign customer after Mexico.
USDA, by the way, is forecasting U.S. pork exports in the first three quarters of 2020 to be 21%, 7.5%, and 8.8% greater than the corresponding quarters from last year. Taking all this into account, WIU's Jason Franken says hog prices should be profitable throughout much of 2020, even though they've been below the cost of production in recent weeks, as they often are seasonally at this time of year. I'm Todd Gleason.
Moving on now into other Midwestern ag news. Coming up in just over a month is the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show to be held again this year in Peoria at the Civic Center. Here to tell us the details on this year's show is Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President with the Midwest Truckers Association.
Yeah, we're getting ready for, I shouldn't say ready, but we've got a lot of, most of our planning done for the 2020 Midwest Truckers Convention and the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show. We have got, we think, a great lineup of programs to deal with. There are so many issues out there, not affecting, truck operators, but, you know, our members are made up of a broad cross-section of the business community. We have farmers, we have construction companies, we have ready-mix companies, we have grain haulers, we have rock, sand, and gravel haulers, we have guys who haul dry freight. I mean, we have, you know, it's not just the guy you see going down the interstate highway. It's everybody that's out there. And it's a good chance your neighbor's a member because, right down here, you know, and we've got... in the counties around here, we've got 100 members in each county. I mean, it's a big group. But they all come together in February, because they learn a lot about, you know, what new regulations are out there that affects their operating trucks. But then we talk a lot about business issues. What do we have to deal with? There's been a slew of new laws that have been passed. How are you going to deal with with recreational marijuana? There's new requirements for sexual harassment training. There are, you know, new laws that are going into effect for truckers, you know, in terms of drug and alcohol testing clearinghouse. I mean, I can go on and on and on about all these new things that are coming up. And it's the one place they can go. Where in a couple days they can get informed, they can keep up to date with the business issues, and the good part about it is that, you know, all these issues are represented by state and federal agencies. Well, what we do is that not only do we bring the state and federal agencies into, you know, for programs and stuff, but they all come in, they have booths at the Truck and Trailer Show. So if you got a question about your license, you can talk to, you know, Secretary of State. If you've got an issue on a road issue or something like that, IDOT's there. You can talk to them. If you've got questions in regards to certain regulation on the federal level, you know, USDOT is there, and they're more than happy to, you know, sit there and talk to everybody. I hate to say it, we got a bunch of lawyers there, you know, but they're very informative. And because of them, they basically volunteer their time. And it helps educate everybody, keeps them in line so that they don't get surprised down the road. And that happens, you know, and you don't want it to happen. So if you can educate yourself, be smart on an issue, you're following the law. That makes it, you know, worth everybody's time.
And I believe last year, if I remember right, you had some state police there showing a mock roadside inspection. Are you going to be having that again this year?
It's one of the most popular and one of the most attended sessions. We do it four times a day, and it is a mock level one truck inspection. What I mean, it is the number one from top to bottom inspection of a truck that the state police would do on your truck if you were to get pulled over on the highway. Or if they pull you into the weigh station and they say, go around, you know what that means. So what we do is we get a truck that's kind of rough and bring it in, And, you know, you can crawl under the truck if you want. You can do what you want. And the inspectors are great because they'll show you everything, you know, what's there, and show you where the problems are. And people have a lot of fun because they want to see if they're smarter than the state police officer, you know, or if they are as good as the state police officer in finding problems with the trucks. So they have fun with that. You know, we do the Trucker's Pride Truck Beauty Contest, which is always fun because what we do is that we whittle it down and we get down to the 25 best, as we call it, pride and polish trucks out there. A lot of chrome, a lot of great paint jobs, and it's fun. And everybody who goes to the show, they get to vote. What's your favorite truck? And so, you know, we give out a whole slew of trophies. We give out, you know, cash prizes. And then we give out one big trophy, you know, People's Choice Award. And that People's Choice Award is the one that people select over the two days of the truck show.
And we'll go over the dates for the truck show. That's February 6th and 7th up in Peoria.
6th, 7th, and 8th. Thursday, February 6th, we start off. We do some sessions those days. It's mostly educational on Thursday. The truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, February 7th, and it goes till 5 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday, truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock, February 8th, and it goes till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The good thing about it this year it's a week later, thus it's not on Super Bowl weekend. A lot of people say, well, I want to be home for Super Bowl. Well, you'll be home for Super Bowl, so come to Peoria the following week and you can you could enjoy the truck show. And it is a great time. It's free admission to the truck show. If you want to participate in the sessions, there is a registration fee for the convention itself, but that includes all your meals, that includes hospitality, a whole slew of stuff, and it's well worth it. If you want more information, you can check our website, www.midwesttruckshow.com. All the registration forms are on there. All the agenda items are there, and housing information, everything you need to make a weekend of it in Peoria. If you don't want to go for the whole time, you can go for one day. You can go to sessions for one day if you want, depending on what your schedule's like. But, you know, we get 6,000 people that come through there over the 2 days of the truck show. And always room for more, though.
And again, that was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association, and the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show will be held on February 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Peoria Civic Center. And if you need more information on the truck show, you can call 217-525-0310 or visit their website, MidwestTruckShow.com. In our last state story for today, some moisture is headed for us later this week, and the southern part of the state will get the most, says state climatologist Trent Ford.
Yeah, so really short term here. The next 7 days are forecasted to be pretty wet, especially for the southern and central parts of the state. So I talk about dryness and dryness. The National Weather Service, a 7-day precipitation forecast showed forecasted totals reaching maybe 4 to 5 inches down to the southern part of the state, closer to 1 to 2 inches in the central and northern parts of the state. As far as longer term, 8 to 14 day outlooks, as well as 30-day outlooks into February, and even those 3-month outlooks into March, April, and May, are all showing elevated odds of wetter than normal conditions. And so again, it you know, with the outlooks comes a little bit more uncertainty than the shorter term forecasts. However, the consistency of those outlooks showing wetter than normal conditions suggests that there is a decent chance that we'll be seeing excess moisture and impacts related to that into later winter and into spring of 2020.
Ford continues to follow the outlooks from the Climate Prediction Center and also hydrological conditions. Moving on now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board. One bulletin board to tell you about. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their January meeting tomorrow evening, Thursday. That'll be held at 7 at the Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. And that'll wrap it up for this Wednesday morning edition of the Farm Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us,
That can be emailed to us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, January 8th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.